as we serve the Lord.
Amen. I see your hands out there. Okay, well, let's get into the Word. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at one verse in Proverbs chapter 4. I do want to forewarn you that we are going to be looking at some other passages of Scripture as well. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and grab your Bible, grab a notebook, if you will, something to write with so that you can look at some of these other additional Scriptures that we're going to cover in the Word today. So we're going to read our passage of Scripture. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right into the Word. So let's read it together. It says this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to hear directly from you through your Word. We ask that your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Helper, that you would help us in our time of need, that you would speak to us in our time of want, that you would encourage us in our time of confusion, and that you would speak clearly to us through your Word, and that we would be encouraged to trust you even more, to give more of ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'd like to continue. Amen. I see the hand clap out there. Praise God. See, I'm glad I have this view. I can see you all. I'm continuing in a series, Trusting God in Times of Trouble. And today what I want to focus on is, I want to focus on heart health. Say that with me, heart health. Heart health, that's what we're looking at. And because our scripture tells us to keep our heart with all diligence. Now, I'm also thankful, as we heard earlier today, that people are recovering from the COVID-19 virus. People have been hit by it, but also people are recovering. Some are recovering in their homes, by the way. Not everybody's going to the hospital. I want to help you understand that. Not everybody's going to the hospital. Some people who are impacted, they stay in their homes. They work through it. And you know what that lets me know? That lets me know our prayers are being answered. How many of you are praying out there? Oh, yes. And see, our prayers are being answered because people are going through the valley of the shadow of death and they're coming out on the other side. Many people are. Now, we also know that many people did lose their lives to the virus, but it doesn't mean that God didn't know and he's not in control. God is still sovereign and we still trust our sovereign God. But what I discovered here during this time is that people are at higher risk when they have pre-existing health conditions. We discovered that. And one of the health conditions that we discovered that people have, those can be seriously impacted if they have serious heart conditions. Now, that's just one of many previous existing conditions that a person can have. But one is that serious heart conditions. I recently visited the Cleveland Clinic online. Say that five times. The Cleveland Clinic is a multi-specialty academic hospital located in Cleveland, Ohio. And I learned that they are like the number two hospital in the entire U.S. Out of all of the hospitals, they're number two. And they've been number one in their health clinic for 22 consecutive years. That means they know hearts. They know how to work with hearts. They know how to operate on hearts. They know how to encourage people and help people that have heart conditions. And so what I like to do is I like to talk about 22 amazing facts that come about the heart. Excuse me, 22 facts about the heart, but I'm only going to talk about 10. So we're going to talk about 10 facts about the heart that comes from the Cleveland Clinic. And here are those 10 facts. Number one, the heart cell starts to beat as early as 4 weeks. Number two, the heart beats 100,000 times a day. Number three, a woman's average heartbeat is faster than a man's by almost 8 beats per minute. Number four, each minute your heart pumps 1.5 gallons of blood. Number five, a heart valve is about the size of a half dollar. That's pretty big. Number six, the beating sound is the clap of the valve leaflets opening and closing. Number seven, the number of heart attacks peak on Christmas Day, followed by December 26th, the day after Christmas, and New Year's Day. Number eight, heart disease is your greatest threat, and it's a greater danger than breast cancer in women and prostate cancer in men. Number nine, regular exercise is the single most important key to heart health, and guess what? It's free. And then number 10, happiness is a strong sense of emotional vitality, and it helps lower your risk of heart disease. I tell you, you laugh more often, you're lowering your risk of heart disease. You like to have fun, you're lowering your risk of heart disease. I just have to say it, I just really got a kick this morning in our virtual lobby. Joe's grandmother was in our virtual lobby, and she was like working through getting on, and she was talking to everybody. And Brother Rick, I heard you talking to her as well, and you guys were having a great time. And Grandma Janice, she was asking kinds of questions and asking Aiden questions, and I was on mute, but I was cracking up back here. I said, "Oh, she's just so cute. It's so great." And you know what? Laughter is good for the soul. Did you guys know that? Laughter is good for the soul. It's like medicine to the soul. And so not only is that a spiritual principle that we find in the Word, but it's also good for our hearts. See, the heart, it's a hardworking marvel. It really is. It can keep on beating automatically, even if other nerve endings are severed. Did you know that the heart will still beat? It beats an average of 75 times a minute, 40 million times a year, 2.5 billion times in the lifetime of 70 years. That's a lot of beating of that heart, isn't it? And at each beat, the average adult discharges about 4 ounces of blood. This amounts to 3,000 gallons a day of blood being pumped by your heart. That's 650,000 gallons a year, by the way, enough to fill more than 81 tank cars of 8,000 gallons each. That heart is a powerful muscle. The heart does enough work in 1 hour to lift a 150-pound man to the top of a three-story building, enough energy in 12 hours to lift a 65-ton tank 1 foot off the ground, or enough power in 70 years to lift the largest battleship afloat completely out of the water. That's how powerful our hearts are. I think this is why Scripture considers the heart the seat or the center of our being. In fact, the Hebrew word for heart, because we're looking in the Old Testament in the Scripture that we read, and that particular heart, that passage uses the word heart, labab, as heart in the Hebrew, and it means the inner man. It means the mind, it means the will, it means the soul, it means understanding, including knowledge and thinking and reflection and memory. It includes the source of the life of the inner person in a variety of aspects, with the focus on feelings, thoughts, volition, and other areas of inner life, our heart. So when the Scripture says to guard our heart or to keep our heart with diligence, he's telling us to be heart aware. Be aware of our heart. Be aware, not just the muscle that we've talked about in the organ that it is, but also be aware of your well-being. Be aware of your inner person. Be aware of your feelings. Be aware of your thoughts. Be aware of your volition. Be aware of your will. Be aware of yourself. You know, not a people are self-aware. There are trainings nowadays to help people to become what's called emotionally intelligent. And one of the facets of emotional intelligence is being self-aware. Being aware of your emotions and what they are telling you. Also being aware of other people's emotions and the fact that other people have emotions and what those emotions are doing as you respond to other people. And many people are learning, if you will, or in some cases need to learn how to become self-aware. You know, a lot of people have blown through life just making decisions and doing things, doing what pleases me or doing what I feel I have to do. And in that regard, very rarely are they self-aware. Very rarely are they aware of the heart. So we're talking about focusing on heart health today. And there's six things that you should know about the heart. And we're going to look at these six things together. Now, I'm going to give you some passages of scripture along with that. So if you just want to continue to look at my picture on the screen or look at others while you're enjoying this sermon, I want you to write these down and do a study after our sermon today. But this is very, very important. It's important that we are aware of our heart health, that we focus on our heart health, especially during this time of trouble. So, six things you should know about the heart. Number one, the heart is deceitful. Number one, the heart is deceitful. Let's look at the scripture together. Jeremiah 17, 9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Everybody see that there? The heart is desperately wicked. It is. It's deceitful above all things. How many of you felt you were in love at one time, maybe earlier on in your youth, and you said, "Oh, I'm so in love," only to find out that that wasn't the one. Hallelujah. And your heart was, at the time, your heart was telling you, "Oh, this is it. I'll leave everything for this." You know, I remember, some of you know that I have a Harley Davidson motorcycle and I love riding, right? And I've been riding bikes for quite some time. And I remember when I met Sister Jackie, I had a Honda Nighthawk. It was a Honda 700 motorcycle. And I met Sister Jackie, and we got married, and that was almost 32 years ago. Hallelujah. Praise God. Almost 32 years ago, met Sister Jackie, and I have my motorcycle, and, you know, and she moved into my apartment. She was staying with her mom at the time. She was totally self-sufficient, but she moved into my apartment after we got married. And so we were a couple then, and it was just she and I. And you know, I was riding my bike, and then I had a truck also. And so I would drive my truck to work, and my bike would sit in the carport because it was an apartment at the time. And I say, "Well, I guess I'll ride it." So I would ride it every now and then. And then I asked my wife, "Hey, you want to ride with me?" And she said, "Well, nah, I really don't want to ride." And I didn't push the issue. She just didn't want to ride. And you know what I said? I said, "Oh, well, if my wife doesn't want to ride with me, I'm just going to get rid of my bike." My heart said, "Will, you might as well just give it." Look at Sister Jackie clapping her hands. My heart said, "Hey, if she's not going to ride with you, there's no need of even having a motorcycle if you can't have your wife on the back of it." Oh, years after that, I could have kicked myself. I was saying, "Oh, why did I get rid of my bike?" Because at the time I was saying, "Oh, I don't need a motorcycle if I can't ride with my wife." How many times have you made a decision like that? How many times have you said, "Oh, I'm just going to, whatever it is," and you just thought that that was the thing to do, and you gave your entire self to it? Oh, I know that many of us have done that, haven't we? And oftentimes, you know what? Our heart deceived us. Our heart didn't know the future like God knows the future, right? Our heart, in many cases, didn't even know the outcome. I've counseled with people before, and I've counseled with them, and unfortunately, I've counseled with people who were married, but they weren't married to each other. They were married to other folks, and they got together. And they say, "Oh, this just has to be right, Pastor Will. This just has to be right because we just feel it. We feel it so right. And God knows our heart. And he must have put this together because we're so drawn together. We believe we're soulmates." And I have to break the news to them that, no, if you're married to somebody else, God didn't bring you together. Now, he may have brought you together with your husband or brought you together with your wife, but he didn't bring two other people's husbands and wives together. Amen. Oh, get a load of hand praise. I have to say that. See, the heart is deceitful. It will deceive you if you are not careful. And what's interesting about the heart, this goes way back to the book of Genesis. Way back to the book of Genesis in chapter Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. I want to look at this together. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And the backstory is, and then we're going to get to it. The backstory is God is looking at the condition of the earth. And remember, this is Genesis chapter 6, so this is still early in the book. And he looks at the people and he looks at their heart. And look at what it says here in Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. Look at what it says. Let's read it together. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, everybody see that there, was only evil continually. Look at what Psalm says about the heart. Psalm number 14, verse 1. The fool has said where? In his heart there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Everybody see that there? So we discover that really the heart is deceitful. And I want to encourage you today, during this time of trouble, don't trust your heart. See, your heart will have you running afraid. In fact, your heart will listen to other people's report. And unfortunately, it can lead you astray. It can lead you to scurry about. It can lead you to think what you see in the media is the only thing that exists. I want to let you know that our God is still sovereign. And you've heard me saying this in practically every message that I've been preaching since we've been providing these online services. God is sovereign. So, number one, the heart is deceitful. The second thing I want you to know about the heart is the heart defiles us. Let me say that again. There it is. The heart defiles us. It makes us dirty. Now, as we continue to look at that, I want you to etch that in your thinking. I'm going to give you a backstory of the scripture that we're going to read. And here it is. It's where Jesus and his disciples are eating, and they didn't go through the ceremonial washing as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, the religious leaders of the day. They're seeing this, and they're saying, hey, they didn't go through the ceremonial washing. So they jam Jesus up. They say, hey, how is it that you and your disciples eat without washing your hands? And let's look at what Jesus says about that process. He says this in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. Look at what he says. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. See, Jesus is saying these things defile a man, not the things that go in the mouth that defiles, but the things that go out. Look at verse 19. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile us. Everybody see that there? It does not defile a man to eat with unwashed hands. Now, you and I don't have that custom today, so it may be difficult for us to relate to that, but they did have that custom in Jesus's day. But Jesus gets right to the point. It's not what goes in the body that defiles a man. You know, what goes in the body, it goes through the system, doesn't it? And it comes out of the body. It comes out in one of a couple of ways, and you know those ways. For me to share those ways would be TMI right now. But you know what happens to food that you eat, right? And so that doesn't defile us. But Jesus is saying what defiles is what comes out of the heart. So then the question becomes, well, why is what comes out of our heart defiling us? Why does our heart defile us? Why is it wicked? Why can we not know it? Why does this phenomenon exist? And that leads us to the number three point that I'd like to make about the heart. Number three, the heart is shaped in sin. That's what it is. The heart is shaped in sin. Look at the scripture, Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Everybody see that there? And then look at Romans. Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at that. Just Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because all sin. Everybody see that there? So here the psalmist says that we are shaped in iniquity. We are born in sin. I love what Job says. Job says, who can make his way clean? Who can make his way straight? None of us can. Why? Because our hearts are shaped in sin. We all are born with a sinful heart. That's why it's so misleading. But I'm so thankful, even in that state, while we yet had that sinful heart, while we were yet driven and motivated by things in our heart that oftentimes cause us to make decisions that we wish that we had not have made, or decisions that could have been better. I'm so thankful that even in that state, God looked down and he saw our need. Oh, hallelujah. Let me let you know that God saw our need in the midst of us having a hard heart, in the midst of us having a heart that's deceitful, in the midst of us having a heart that fails, in the midst of us having a heart that's hard and callous, in the midst of us having a heart that's selfish, in the midst of us having a heart that doesn't consider others, in the midst of having a heart that has no empathy for others, God intervened. Oh, yes, he did. Hallelujah. If you believe that, just wave your hand today. Let me see those hands. I see those hands. See, God intervened when our heart had us at our worst. I remember back in the mid-80s when I rededicated my life to the Lord, and my mom could attest to this story. I was broke down. My heart had led me to make a series of decisions and even get involved in some addictions that just destroyed my life. But I'm so thankful that even when I was, they used to call it a kick to the curb. I don't know what they call it nowadays, but my life, it was just toe up from the flow up, as they say. It was just bad, and I had lost everything, and it was at that place that God saw me, see, and he saw what my heart had done to my life. Oh, glory to God. He saw what my heart had done to my life, as all that time I had lived, I was following my heart, and I'm so thankful that he didn't say things like, well, see what mess you made? How you gonna dig yourself out of this one? Okay, so who's gonna rescue you now? Or now look at your trouble. Now what are you gonna do? I'm so thankful that was not God's approach to me being led by my heart to be in the condition and the state that I was in. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know you've suffered, you've been through some situations, and God rescued you out of those situations, not because he wanted you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but because he wanted to show that he is sovereign and he is God. Oh yes, he is God. So God, number four, the thing that I want to let you know about our heart, number four, God promises a new heart. See, he promised to give us a heart transplant. And that's found in Ezekiel chapter 36. Look at this with me. Ezekiel 36, starting at verse 26. And this is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. Look at what he says here. I will give you a new heart. Everybody see that? And put a new spirit within you. See, we needed that. We needed a new heart. We needed a new spirit because we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't, our hearts just couldn't get right. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Our heart just led us wrong. But God said, I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to put a new spirit within you. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh. Everybody see that there? And give you a heart of flesh. He's saying that old stony, selfish, unrepentant, unregenerate heart, I'm going to take that heart out and I will give you a heart of flesh. That means I'm going to give you a heart that's soft, that's pliable, that's moldable, that's shapeable. And then look at verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Praise God. Look at what God says is going to happen. He says that he's going to give us a heart transplant. Why? Well, we discovered in these first four things about the heart that we need a heart transplant because it can't heal itself. Oh, glory to God. And if there was ever an existing condition that you and I had that could lead to fatality, that could lead to death, that would be a spiritual heart condition outside of God. And God saw beyond that. He saw beyond that to meet our needs. You know, there's a song that says, he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. Well, that's what God did. He gave us that heart transplant. And then he tells us this in the New Testament. Look at what he says in the New Testament, because this is where the decision is made. The decision is made in this new heart that he gives us. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 10. Let's look at that together. Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, there it is, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, there it is again, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Remember what Jesus said? He said, it's not what goes into the body that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of the heart. Well, the Apostle Paul is telling us here in Romans chapter 10 that the heart, with the heart one believes. And because we believe, what comes out of the heart is our confession of faith. Hallelujah. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And guess what? One of these days, everybody's going to do it. We just have the opportunity to do it now, don't we? But one of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. One of these days. Now, we have an opportunity to do that now. Why? Because our heart is changed. We receive a heart transplant. This is why the Bible tells us no one can say Jesus is Lord except it be by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gives us that heart transfer the heart transplant, and now we are able to speak out of our heart, but what comes out of our mouths are different from how we used to speak before. Oh, glory to God. Now, I hope that be your case. I hope you're not still saying the same things you used to say back in the day before your heart was changed. I hope you're not still thinking the way you used to think, because if we have a new heart, we have a new speech. We sing hallelujah. I so love that song that we sang, in the presence of my enemies. We sing hallelujah. The King is alive. We sing hallelujah. See, when we have a new heart, we have a new speech. Hallelujah. We say new things. We say spiritual things. And we are in touch with God in a very, very spiritual way. So number four, God promises a new heart, a heart transplant. And I'm so thankful that he did, because we couldn't save ourselves. Now, let me say this. Point number five about our heart. God pours love in our heart. That's what he does. Look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Look at what it says here. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out where? In our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Let me help you understand that. Here we have the love of God. The Bible tells us the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you know what type of love that is. Some of you know. Now, there's four Greek words for love, and some of you have heard me share this before. One of the Greek words for love is storge. Storge. That's a familial type of love. That's the kind of love that we saw happening in the beginning before our service started with Grandma Janice loving her handsome grandson and her beautiful granddaughter-in-law, right? That's that kind of love that you see with my mom, Dr. Sistar, she's there, and we share that, and that's familial love with Mother Smith. I love my elder. elders. I mention them often, ladies and gentlemen, because we are to respect our elders. We are to respect our, honor our father and mother. We are to respect our elders. And I ask you to forgive me if I don't mention you as often as I mention some of these elders. But these elders have paved ways for us, ladies and gentlemen, and they're still deciding to worship with us. And they have lots of wisdom. They have lots of history. And that's a familial type of love. That's the storge. That's the family kind of love. And then there is what's called the philios, which is the phileo, which is the brotherly love. That's the love that friends have for friends. And then there is eros, which is the romantic love. I'll just call it that, the romantic love that husbands should have with wives, or have for wives, and wives should have for husbands. And then there is what's called agape, which is what we consider God's love. That is the unconditional love. That's what many people call it. It's love that loves regardless of what the object of the love does. It chooses to love. See, that's a love that's a choice. God chose to love us. In fact, the Bible says that God so agape, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was a choice that God made for us. Did you know that? And what I like about that choice is God doesn't renege. He doesn't take it back. He didn't take it back. He made the choice to love us. You know, the proverb says that he who desires friends must be friendly. In other words, what that's saying is, if you desire friends, choose to be a friend. And a friend chooses to be a friend regardless of the person that they are befriending. You're saying, you know what? I'm going to choose to be here for that person. I'm going to choose to love that person. I'm going to choose to assist that person. I'm going to choose to support that person. I'm going to choose to be a friend to that person. Glory to God. You know, Jesus did that. He told his disciples, he says, you know what? I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because the master tells the friends what he's going to do. And I'm telling you what I'm going to do. Jesus chose us as his friends. There's the song, I am a friend of God. And that comes from Abraham. In fact, God did the same thing with Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham believed God so that God called him his friend. Because he believed, and because he believed, it was counted to him as righteousness. Because God said, Abraham, I want you to go someplace. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I just want you to get up and go. Hallelujah. Look at that. Look at that. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he would have to receive, he obeyed, not even knowing where he was going. He still obeyed God. And the book of James tells us, because Abraham did that, his faith was counted as righteousness, and therefore God called him friend. See, this love that the Holy Spirit pours in our hearts, it's not that eros love. It's not a romantic love. It's not just the familial love, family love. It's not just a friend love, philios love. This is a love that goes beyond the norm to assist others. It goes beyond the norm to pray for others. It goes beyond the norm to help others. It goes beyond the norm to see those that you are engaged with. You want to see the best outcome for them. And you do all that's humanly possible within your relationship with them to help that happen. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. This is the love that's been poured in our hearts. And we know this sermon is focusing on heart health, right? Focusing on heart health. And so far, we've talked about the variety of issues with the heart. But I want to encourage you today, those of you who are believers, those of you who've been walking with the Lord a long time, I know some of you say, hey, Pastor Will, we kind of know these scriptures. Well, I want to challenge you. Where are you with displaying the love of God in your heart? Where are you? Who have you befriended? Who are you praying for? Who are you connecting with? Who's in your prayer closet? What names are on your prayer list, if you will? I want to encourage you today, don't allow this shelter in place to cause you to have a mental or a spiritual shelter in place where you're just blocking everything out until you can see people again. Oh, no. Did you know prayer knows no bounds? Hallelujah. Prayer is not limited to walls. It's not limited to buildings. I want to encourage you. And nowadays, we can reach out and touch somebody through the internet, can't we? Just like we're doing now. We can reach out and touch. I want to encourage you, for some of you who've been walking with the Lord for a while, where is the love? Oh, glory to God. Where is the love? See, Jesus said this, people will know you are my disciples for the love you have for one another. Oh, where is the love? Where is the love? Only you can answer that question. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Let the love of God that's been poured in your heart by the Holy Spirit, let that love come out to others. And did you know that love is patient? Did you know that love is kind? Did you know that love is long-suffering? Did you know that? That it doesn't think evil but thinks good? Did you know that? It doesn't hold account of wrongs against it. It hopes all things. It believes all things. It endures all things. Did you know? That's the love that God has shed abroad in my heart and in yours. For every believer, that's the love of God that's been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, I see some people praising the Lord out there. Oh, yeah. See, this is, remember, this is focus on heart health. During this time that so many people are motivated by fear, so many people are motivated by the uncertainty that lies ahead. As Stacy said earlier on, there's things that will change. We will not go back to some things as we know them as a result of this. How are you shining as a light? How are you supporting others during this time? Oh, I want to encourage you. See, hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. So not only did God give us a heart transplant, but then he gave us what's necessary to display his love to others. And he put his love in our hearts. So number five, God pours love in our heart. And number six, God's peace will guard our hearts. Look at the scripture here in Philippians chapter 4. It says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and what? Supplication with what else? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to who? To God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, I love this passage of scripture. You hear me say that often about the word of God. But look at what he's saying here. He's saying, even in times of trouble like this, don't let your heart be troubled. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. See, there it is again. By prayer and supplication, meaning just pouring yourself out to God with thanksgiving, just believing God and thanking God for it even before you see it happen. You're thanking God for it. He says, let your request be made known unto God. Remember what we heard earlier today? Let it be known to God. If you have a question, ask God. If you have a lament, bring your lament before the Lord. And look at what he says. And the peace of God. Oh, glory to God. That's peace that the world can't understand, by the way. Jesus said, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto you. And let me let you know just a few things about God's peace. Did you know God's peace cannot be untaken or taken back? God gives us his peace, and he wants us to enjoy his peace. And because God gave us the peace, there's nothing that the world can do to take it away. Now, unfortunately, many of us, we start to worry or we start to doubt or we start other things that are in conflict with the peace of God. But the peace of God has the potential to guard your heart and guard your minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I love what the scripture says in And the scripture says, he keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. And the old saints used to sing this song, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Some of you know that. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. Yeah. I woke up this morning with my mind. Oh, I see you liking that out there. Stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. See, our hearts are kept in perfect peace. Yes. Our hearts are kept in perfect peace as our minds are stayed on him. And that's a peace that the world can't take, ladies and gentlemen. So let me challenge you. Don't give it. Don't allow issues that are existing in the world to challenge your peace. You hold on to your peace. And when you feel your peace slipping away because of whatever circumstance or whatever situation, I want to encourage you, get back in your prayer closet. Oh, Lord, I feel my peace slipping away. I had a situation this week that happened this week, and I was saying, Lord, help me, guide me through this. And I lost some sleep over it. And I didn't lose sleep over fear. I lost sleep over just grappling with what was going on. It had nothing to do with our situation. It was more of a personal situation. And I was feeling kind of out of sorts. And I said, oh, no. I am not going to give in to how I'm feeling right now. I begin to pray, and I begin to pray, and I say, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your child. Give me your wisdom. Help me to move through this, and I am not going to allow this to take my peace. Why? The peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. So when you feel that tug on your peace, when you feel something come against your peace, when you feel that issue or that circumstance or that thing that has the potential to cause you to focus more on it than on your peace, I want to encourage you, get back in the fellowship in prayer with God. That's what I mean. Get back in prayer with God. And I would even say this, believe what the word says. Believe what the word says. And here's a perfect example of what the word says. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. See, people don't understand this kind of peace. In fact, you know what? You and I don't even understand it. We just know, wait a minute. You know, I should be afraid right now, but I'm not. I should be worrying right now, but I'm not. Hallelujah. I should be feeling some kind of way, but I'm not. Oh, thank you, Lord. And when you're not, just thank the Lord for it. Don't question it. Don't go back into some area in your thinking that causes you, okay, yeah, I know I should be depressed, so yeah, here I am. I'm back here. No, don't go there. Don't go there. You allow God's peace to keep you. Allow his peace to satisfy you. Allow his peace to cause another fruit to grow up in you, and that is joy. See, that's a fruit of the Spirit also. And as we appreciate and realize his peace, then you and I can have joy, unspeakable joy, in the midst of trial, in the midst of circumstance, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, you and I are kept by God's peace and can experience his joy. Don't let other people try to take his joy or have you not appreciate his joy. You know, there's what's called killjoy. Everybody remember that term, killjoy? That's a person who you go and you share some good news with. Hey, you know, such and such happened. And, oh, well, what do you mean by that? Well, how did that happen? And it's like you walk away saying, well, man, why did I even say that to them? No, don't allow what other people say, how other people respond to impact your peace and to impact your joy. Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. And I've done what's necessary for your joy to be full. So number six, God's peace will guard our hearts. So let me conclude by this. So we're going to talk about some tips for good heart health, right? And there's some good tips. In fact, I've been doing something during this time of shelter in place. I've been on my recumbent bicycle. That's the bike that you ride, you know, in your wherever you have it. I have one in our bedroom. And so in our bare room, I've been on my recumbent bike and I've been trying to get my heart rate up, up, up. And I've been getting it up in the target area. And I've been getting it up in the target area for longer periods of time because I want to increase my heart health. I want to improve my heart health. So how can we improve our spiritual heart health, knowing that God has given us the transplant? He's filled our heart with the love of God, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He keeps our heart in peace. So how can we maintain good heart health? Well, number one, start your day in prayer. I want to encourage you. Now, that's not going to be on your screen, so you might want to write that down. Start your day in prayer. See, prayer is having a heart-to-heart with God, pun intended. Prayer is having a heart-to-heart with God. You're speaking to God, and you're bringing your cares to Him. You know, the Bible tells us to cast our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. And it's so important that you and I, that we would start our day having a prayer, speaking to our God, having a heart-to-heart with the Father, so that then you and I can continue on. Now, that heart-to-heart gets the blood pumping, right? It's almost like having doing the heart rate exercises, those physical exercises that give your ability to bring your heart rate up. You're having the heart-to-heart with God. And then what I want to encourage you to do, number one, start your day in prayer. Number two, read the Word of God daily. I want to say that. Read the Word of God daily. Now, it doesn't have to be. Now, it can be a Bible study if you want to do that. That's totally fine. But it doesn't have to be. It can be. Some of us read like a proverb a day. I've been doing that, reading a proverb today. Today is the 19th or 18th or 19th, whatever day it is. It is the 19th. So that means today would be Proverb chapter 19. And I'd read Proverbs chapter 19. So that's a way. And guess what? You don't even have to read the whole chapter. I mean, I encourage you. But let's say, for instance, you're reading Proverbs chapter 19, and there's a verse that really stands out to you. There's a verse that really speaks to you. I want to encourage you to stop and meditate on that verse. Think about that verse. Maybe even write the verse out. Look at the words that are in that verse that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. See, that might be, He wanted you to start at Proverbs chapter 19, but He wanted you to zero in on that verse. So don't think Pastor Will is saying, well, I got to read the whole chapter in order for me to know. What you want to do is you want to connect with God through His Word. And if you get started and you find out that verse 13 in Proverbs chapter 19, it begins to resonate with you. It begins to speak to your heart. Well, stay there. Let it continue to speak to your heart. Let it resonate with you. Let God begin to do a work in you as you commune with Him in your Word. And you know what? As we spend time in the Word daily, that's like a cleansing, a heart cleansing. We're washed by the water of the Word. Did you know that? We are. So as many of us have washed ourselves before service today, and let me just say this, I think probably some of us less than we used to. I know some of us are having a challenge with just putting on regular clothes nowadays, you know, being in our shelter in place. But here, as we partake in the Word of God, we have been washed. We are being cleansed. We are being even sanctified, if you will, in that progressive way through the Word of God. So number one, start your day in prayer. Number two, read the Word of God daily. Read it daily. I want to encourage you to press. If you get up with just enough time, like I used to do, I get up with just enough time to do this, to get my coffee, just enough time to get in the car, just enough time to get to the office or to wherever I was working. Well, now in the Bay Area, you have to get up way earlier than that because of traffic. So I want to encourage you, if you are one of those that wake up with just enough time, add time to your morning to include prayer and a short little Bible reading, a devotional. Devotionals are good for that. There's the Daily Bread. How many of you are familiar with the Daily Bread? I see some hands out there. Right. There's the Daily Bread. You can read that, a little short story. You want to feed on the Word of God. The Psalm says this: how can a man keep his way clean? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's Psalm number 19, verse 9. And verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So number one, start your day in prayer. Number two, read the word of God daily. That's our strength, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you and I can keep our peace, by the way. We don't allow issues to compete with our peace, because the word of God is dwelling in us richly. And when that issue comes up, we have a word that says, nope, that's not what God says. I know what it looks like, but that's not what God says. I know what they are saying, but that's not what God says. Why? Because that word of God is dwelling in you and I richly. Number three, love your neighbor. Oh, well, wait a minute, Pastor Will. I wanted you to give me one of those spiritual things. Well, did you know that loving your neighbor is a spiritual thing? The Bible tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And doesn't it? And then it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, loving your neighbor is exercising your heart. See, we were talking about prayer is heart to heart with God. Reading word is cleansing your heart. Well, loving your neighbor is putting the things that God is putting your heart to action. You're exercising your heart. You're stretching yourself. You're saying, okay, God, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. And in fact, I have a neighbor. My wife and I just received a new neighbor, move in next door. And I was so happy. I was so happy because I really had a great relationship with the neighbors that were there before. We have good relationships with all our neighbors. And so here, the new neighbors moved in, but they moved in when the shelter in place happened, and I couldn't go over. But I was so happy. I was saying, hey, Jackie, do we have some sparkling cider? What else do we have? Because I want to go and bless them. You know what I mean? I want to go over to their house. I'm going to bring some sparkling cider. I might even ask my wife to make a pound cake. I mean, I really want to go over there and just blow them away with the love of God. Why, they are my neighbor. Oh, glory to God. And see, us loving our neighbor, not just our physical next door neighbor, but who in your sphere of influence can you love? Can you shower with the love of God? Who needs to be showered by the love of God, by the way? And you know, there's a lot of people that need God's love right now. Did you know that? Oh, so many people need the love of God. So love your neighbor. Number three, that's exercising your heart. It's exercise. It's going beyond the norm. It's going beyond the, hi, John, good morning, how are you? It's going beyond to ask, how's the family? You know, what do you do? It's engaging in conversations that give you opportunities to allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine through you to your neighbor. And before you know it, you may be having that salvation conversation. You may be having that conversation where you can share your faith with that person because the foundation has been laid. They're in relationship with you, and they're kind of wanting to know now because you have loved them so. Oh, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Start your day in prayer. Number two, read the word of God daily. Number three, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love those in your sphere of influence. Love those that God puts around you. Did you know that God puts people in your life on purpose? God is a God of purpose. He is intentional about who you engage with. And sometimes we're like in our routine. And if we're in our routine, we can miss opportunities that God has provided for you and for me. So I want you to be sharp. I want you to open your eyes to all opportunities. Now, what's interesting is if we start our day in prayer and we start our day in the word, usually we're looking at things in the context of what we've done. We're looking at things in the context of that prayer, and we're looking at things in the context of the scriptures that we read, so that now we are more apt to see what God is doing. We're more apt to see what God is doing in our life. Hallelujah. I see these chats, and keep them coming. I see the chats. I see the amens, and just keep them coming. God bless you. So number three, love your neighbor. And number four, this is the last tip for good heart health. Number four, serve God in your church. Serve God in your church. We say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Will. I don't have to be in the church to worship God. You're right. You don't have to be in the church, but did you know that he developed the church. He initiated the church. The church is the place for you and I to grow primarily, and we grow with other believers. We grow with other people. The church is called a household of faith. It's called a household of God. And in this regard, you and I have opportunities to connect with other people. Why? Well, God wants us to be connected. He wants us to be part of the church community, not the church community at large, because some people say, well, I kind of go to this church, then I go to that church, then I go to this church, then I go to that church. Well, thank God you go to those churches, but where are you serving? Where are the gifts of God manifesting in you? See, I'm not saying don't go to other churches, but what I'm saying is begin to make a choice to serve God in one place or maybe one or more place. But I want to encourage you, serve God in that church. Why? Because that church is the spiritual health clinic. The Bible tells us that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We can't be solo out there just, you know, doing our own, oh yeah, I know God, and I'm just bouncing off from place to place. No, what I want to encourage you to do, I want to encourage you to buckle down. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you to buckle down and just try God. And I issue this, every now and then I issue this challenge, and I'm going to issue it today. For those of you who are, maybe you don't have a church or maybe you've not joined a church or anything, I'm not saying join Impact, but what I am saying is I want to encourage you to trust God for 90 days. It's called the 90-day challenge. And the 90-day challenge is attend worship service for 90 days. For 90 days. So if it starts today, today would be the first day, and over the next 90 days, you would continue to Zoom right in here at Impact. If you choose Impact to spend your 90-day challenge, you choose that here. That would be fine. If not, if it's your local church or some other church, that's totally fine also. God, he just wants you to commit to at least 90 days. I know there's some people in the audience today, and because I can see you all, which is great, there's some people in the audience today who took the 90-day challenge. I got a chance to talk to, I see somebody holding a peace sign over there. I talked to a person who participated in the 90-day challenge, and I said, wasn't that worth it? And yes, the person said, yes. And they're still active, and I think their 90 days may even be up by now, but they're still actively doing what God wants them to do. So try them for 90 days. So 90-day challenge, attend worship service for 90 days. Attend Bible study for 90 days. If you can do both, do both. If you can do one or the other, I definitely want to encourage you for worship service. If you can't do Bible study, get some Bible study. But I want to encourage you, 90 days. Trust God for 90 days and make that commitment. You know, the Bible tells us if we draw nigh unto God, James says in the King James, I cut my teeth on that. As we draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto us. In other words, as we get close to God, guess what? He will get close to us. So for good heart health, number one, start your day in prayer. Number two, read the word of God daily. Number three, love your neighbor. And number four, serve God in your church. During this time of trouble, see, I want to encourage you, focus on your heart health. And as you focus on your heart health, God will use you as light in the world and salt in the earth to encourage those that are around you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for encouraging our soul today. You are so good. And we just thank you for meeting us at the point of our need, Lord. We've learned a lot about our hearts and what you have done for our hearts, what you have done to our hearts, and how we receive what you have done through our hearts. And now, Lord, we just bring our hearts to you, saying, shape us, mold us, make us what you desire we be, Lord. Encourage us as only you can. There's some that says, well, Pastor Will, you know, I, 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 have heard this message, and I want to know what I can do to open my heart to the Lord. Well, we read it earlier on. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you say, well, that's what I want to do, Pastor Will. I want God's salvation. I want him to create in me that new heart that you were talking about, that transplant, that heart transplant. I want that heart transplant. Well, if you want that, guess what? And you identify with that, God is already doing the surgery. And I'm going to pray a prayer that I want you to pray with me, and the surgery will be complete. And it's this: dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died, that you were buried, and God raised you from the dead. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. And I thank you for saving me. In your name, amen. Hallelujah. And then there's some of you, as I mentioned before, you know the Lord. You've prayed that prayer a long time ago. Now, let me ask you this. Where's the love? Where's the love? How have you been living as a believer? What have you been doing as a believer? Who have you impacted as a believer? And I want to pray with you. Some of you say, well, you know what, Pastor Will, you're right. I don't think I've been doing what God wants me to do. I don't think I've been as active as God wants me to be. Would you pray for me? Yes. If that be, let me see your hand. You say, I want to be more active for the Lord. I see that hand out there. I see that hand. Yep, I see those hands. See, we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray for you. Those of you who say, yeah, you know, there's more I believe God wants me to do. And it's not in my power. It's just in him working in me. And I want God to work through me more to other people. If that be you, every head bow, let's pray. And I'm going to pray, and then I want you to repeat a prayer after me. So, Father, thank you for moving on these hearts to allow you greater access to them. And if you've raised your hand, pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, forgive me for not doing what you wanted me to do, but I give myself to you fresh and new today. Thank you, Lord, for using me. Give me courage where courage is needed. Give me boldness when boldness is needed. Give me the ability to empathize when that's needed. And help me to love in all situations. Give me your wisdom where your wisdom is needed. Because I want to be a vessel totally used by you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. God is so awesome.
We're making impact. Jesus. Making impact as we sing and his praise.